Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This week on the Guitar Nerds Patreon episode, we talk about loads and loads of stuff from Summer NAMM 2018, including the Epiphone Prism guitar, one of the weirdest entries into the Epiphone catalogue ever. Plus, at the end of the regular episode, we've got a big announcement, so do stick around. If you want to hear the Patreon episode, go to patreon.com/guitar nerds. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Hello.
Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Ha-ha!
You're very, very lucky this evening, listener, because we've got two members of the Guitar Nerds team who have only just got back today from getting off a plane from Summer NAMM. I refuse to call it SNAMM. And they seem to be holding up all right. Matty, how you feeling?
I fell asleep in my Uber. I
want to get that on a t-shirt for you.
I landed at 9 a.m. Was the first one through the UK passport barriers. It was the quickest I've ever been through immigration. And someone else was like, "That was quick." And I was like, "Yeah, I bet you I'll have to wait right to the end to get my luggage." I did, and it still didn't turn up.
Oh,
so I lost my luggage.
Oh, Matty.
And I fly out. It's got my whole life in it, and I fly out again to Spain in 2 days. So ups and downs.
Oh, Matty.
Good week. Ended by the loss of luggage.
So, Jay, in comparison, you know, your flight, you know, Matt Sanelica, good flight, but, you know, a bit of a letdown at the end. Your flight probably worse, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's really, really hard work. Really hard work.
Yeah, so what was your sort of vibes?
It was all right. My flight was fine, actually.
Okay, good.
My flight was totally fine. And although I thought I was going to go through exactly the same thing that Matt did, because I got a connecting flight, and it was only after I left the first terminal at Chicago and went into the next one, I went, I wonder if I was supposed to collect my luggage. I think it'll be all right. I'm pretty sure it'll be all right. And I went and spoke to someone who works for British Airways, and they were like, "Yeah, I think it'll be all right. It should be fine." And I was like, "Oh, okay, well, that's not reassured me in the slightest." But anyway, I got to Heathrow, and yeah, it was like one of the last bags.
Surely you can only collect your luggage, once you've gone through immigration. So yeah, surely if you're in a connecting
not
flight.
Not always. I've done it before where you've got to...
And then you put it onto the next flight.
Yeah, I think it's usually like smaller airports.
Right,
it's like quite self-contained.
Okay.
But I was going through Chicago O'Hare, which is obviously one of the busiest airports in the world, so they kind of are prepared for this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I was absolutely cream crackered, but I had a couple of good flights. I flew to get home. I flew Nashville to Chicago, and what was great, and something that we kind of don't get to do a lot when we're flying from the UK, basically anywhere, is flew over land the whole way.
Yeah.
Because it was basically due north, and so like just over loads and loads of cool towns, and like you could see everything. Flew over what I think was the Mississippi River at one point, which was really cool to see. It was a cool flight, but I am very much feeling it at the moment.
Good.
But it's fine. Like I did it as best as I could, and I'll go to work tomorrow, and I'm sure I'll be knackered, but it'll be fine.
Well, we've got basically an hour ahead of us where you guys can talk about your experiences, things that you saw at NAMM, and all of the kind of press releases and the news that came out of the event. But first, I wanted to catch up with Joe Branton. You didn't make it to Summer NAMM.
I didn't.
But you did manage to buy a thing that you've been talking about buying for some time.
Oh, yes, I did. Yes, I did. I can't remember who I contacted. Who did I contact? John Hornby Skews?
Yeah, JHS.
Yeah, that's who I contacted, who distribute Dan Electro.
Did you actually get this already?
And, well, they are finding out if they can get one to me in time. So fingers crossed. They're pretty confident that they can, and they've given me a stonking deal on it as well, which is very nice. A stonking one.
Good.
But I have purchased a Dan Electro DB604 in Blackburst. If you're wondering what a DB604 is, well, the DB stands for double, because it's got two necks.
What does the 6 stand for?
I assume it's 6 strings and 4 strings.
What does the O stand for?
There's some empty
There's zero people in the world who actually want this guitar.
Yeah.
There, you can add a plus one to that, because I'm very excited about
There are
about
zero
this.
Uses where this guitar is actually applicable.
It's fantastic. So it's basically like a DC-59, so the short horn style guitar on one end, and it's their it's a 30-inch scale, so short scale bass on the neck closest to me. Absolutely fantastic. I am very excited.
No, surely the bass neck is at the bottom, isn't it?
No, it's at the top.
Ah, because that's different to the original that we just looked at, which had the guitar on top.
That's right, yeah. Kay. Yeah, this is the other way around, which is much better for me, because obviously the bass would be the thing I'm using the most.
Yeah.
And I think I want the thing I'm using the most the closest.
Yeah, you explained
so
it a
up.
Bit last week by saying you wanted one of these because you're now going for 3 drummers in your band. So you need to play guitar and bass. So is your guitar player playing drums?
Yes. But and our organ player is playing drums.
Surely you can't play all his guitar parts.
Yes, I can. Fortunately.
But how are you going to do it and play the bass at the same time?
Look, I'm not doing it for the whole set. We're basically doing it as a bit. It's a gimmick intro, yeah. So
right.
For about the first like 5-10 minutes of the set, probably 5 minutes, it's going to start with the 3 of them all playing full drum kits on stage. And
the sound guys must absolutely love you.
I know.
It's like, yeah, we've got 3 drum kits, mate.
How long? We use them for five minutes.
5 minutes. Yeah, 5 minutes.
Exactly. And then I get to come out through all the smoke with my double neck, and I basically just have to make some
sort
noise.
Of like, what's that one with Matthew Kelly? Stars in their eyes.
It's
a bit come out through the smoke. You go in as a normal person, you come out a total and utter plonker with a double neck.
I think it's going to be cool. It's great. It's a very reasonably priced double neck, and it's probably the coolest looking one you can get.
I'm quite interested to play it. I like Dan Electro stuff in general, so, and I've never seen one of the double necks.
I just wanted to work out the price per minute.
Full retail on an instrument like this would be £725.
For 5 minutes.
So over £100 a minute.
Well, it's super cool. Think about it. I will be the coolest person on the stage.
I hate to say, Joe, that can never be true.
I really hope you're wearing a fedora and a shirt with some flames on it as well.
Guy Fieri's
polymath. Well, yeah.
I think it's going to be very cool. But on to Summer NAMM. So this has been a great Summer NAMM.
Yeah, what I thought we could do is obviously... Well, in fact, before we do that, I just wanted to mention you're on the Tone Mob podcast this week.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I did like a Tone Mob thing with Blake.
Yeah. Called the Tone Mob podcast.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was cool.
It's actually the ToneMob.com podcast. I think.
We spoke a lot about like using...
What actually is ToneMob.com? Does it actually even...
What? The ToneMob.com?
Does he actually use the website for anything?
Yeah, it's where you can like stream all the stuff.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
This site cannot be reached.
There we go. I think it's just ToneMob, not the ToneMob.
Oh, so it's the ToneMob.com podcast.
Yeah.
Wow, there you go. Yeah, we spoke a lot about like using modulation as a texture effect for stuff. It was cool. We spoke a lot about like slow phases and things like that. Southampton pedals. I'm really into Southampton pedals at the moment.
Yep.
Their utility knife effect is very, very cool. But it was good. I really enjoyed shooting the stuff with Blake. It was fantastic. Yeah, good old podcast.
I actually really enjoyed it. You sound like a normal human being on that podcast.
I sort of forgot to like
put the character on,
get drunk. I was sober. It wasn't. Yeah, that was. I'll never do that again.
Yeah, terrifying. A terrifying peek into the real Joe Branton's life. I must say, congrats on that picture that you put in the Facebook group this week of you when you're 16. I guess.
Oh yeah.
One of the best photos you've ever put up.
Thanks, man. It's really good. If listeners, if you haven't checked that out, go to our Facebook group.
It's really special.
It's good. Really, it's a good Barnett.
Yeah, it's very, very good. If you want to see Joe with long hair in a blazer and an Adidas jumper, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I was like Brighton hipster before Brighton hipster was a thing.
Well, yeah.
I'm not quite sure that's the look. It looks more like
obnoxious schoolboy, which probably isn't like too far off the truth.
Teenager doesn't want to wash his lank hair. Parents have given up asking. I talk from experience here, of course.
I mean, I think we all went through that.
Yeah.
I mean, someone did post a picture of Rick Mail from The Young Ones, and yeah. I thought that was
It was so uncanny. Yeah, it really was.
Basically that. Do check that out. So, what I thought we'd do is, first off, dive into your highlights of the show, Jay and Matt, and then we'll go into the meat of it, the news as it was delivered. So, Matt, I don't know if you want to go first. Do you want to pick out some things that you like that perhaps aren't on this list of the official news articles?
Yeah. Yeah, because there's some bits on there that I really liked. A couple things I saw were really cool. Limited edition MXR carbon copy and Phase 90.
What was limited edition?
Custom graphics. It's like really psychedelic custom graphics. They look really cool.
Interesting.
And I'm sure when I talked to the guy, he was like, yeah, they're like based in Brighton or something. And I was like, and I don't think I really clocked it until later. And I might be wrong, but yeah, it was definitely a graphics company in the UK. The same people that make some of their straps.
Okay.
And he was like, yeah, it's just going to happen later in the year. Don't really know when, but it's going to happen. I'm like,
nice.
Okay. They're only going to make 1,000 of them, apparently, but they look really cool. Exactly same circuit, just custom graphics. And it was the first time I saw the Mark III version of the Way Huge pedals.
What's the difference?
Just a smaller enclosure, but it's like a smaller... They look like Way Huge pedals, so the same type of sort of like bent steel box that they have, but they're smaller than a normal MXR pedal. With top-mounted jacks, so they make like perfect sense for a pedal board.
Nice.
They were really cool, and they were doing the Overdrive Special in Mini as well, which is quite nice.
On that note, similar thing from Carl Martin. I had a
don't say they've done the pedals like without the hardwired
power
supply.
Well, so two things. First of all,
surely not.
First of all, I was speaking to the US distributor, really nice bloke, and they have got a bunch of new chassis, very similar to those Way Huge ones, for some of their more compact pedals. So like the DC Drive and the Surf Trim.
Yeah.
Again, much, much smaller, nice kind of bent steel. They look really classy, really, really classy. And more importantly, they're just small. But all of their larger pedals, the ones that we've always sort of poo-pooed because they were hardwired.
Well, always good sounding, but
unusable
in a modern context.
We've poo-pooed them because they were hardwired. Yeah. None of them are anymore. So they're all out. And I spoke to him about it, and he was like, "Yeah, I know. It took us some time, but you know, we got there in the end." And yeah, they're all now non-hardwired, which is fantastic.
Are they in the same large box?
Most of them are. Yes.
Right. Fine. Fine.
But you know, they've also got those compacts if you want them. So
yeah. Anything on the guitar front, Matty, not pedal related, that you saw that kind of blew your mind?
On the guitar front, not really. I didn't. To be honest, it was the Fenders and the Charvels. For me, the highlight, and I went about it a lot when I was talking to Jay and to the boss guys, is I met a new pedal board company called, well, I called them Waggy, but the American guys called them Wagi. So it's one of those two, Waggi, and possibly the best pedal board design, I think, out there at the moment.
Okay.
So they're tiered pedal boards, like the one that I use from Custom Pedal Boards. But they're made of...
So that's a tiered pedal board where the second tier sits over the lower tier and you can fold it back. So
that's
it's space-saving and designed for switches.
They come in like the pedal train sizes. They're slatted, but each rail has a holder underneath so you can run the cables through and then you can like clip in these little placeholders.
Okay.
So you don't have to use cable ties or anything. So you have to like cable tie your whole board, and then if you want to move something like cut a load of cable ties, and that you can actually just move stuff around, and the whole board is raised just enough. They do the same on the bottom rails, but it's not it's not like slanted, so the back is higher than the top. It's more like just a flat board. They come in a great case, like better than the pedal train ones, with a zip, and the biggest one was $249.
What's the comparison on the pedal train?
So did you say the largest one was 249?
Yeah.
So that's Pedal Train's probably a little bit more for that, probably 289, 299, something like that.
But having the extra tier,
yeah,
so you've got
makes
the
it way more
so
usable.
Can, it's way more useful. You can run everything underneath, and then because under that tier you've got space for your power supplies or your patch bays or everything, so everything plugs in directly at the back. And it was just like, it was really well built, really well designed. And what caught my eye is he built one with an ES8, and then he was like, recognized me from the ES8 Facebook group.
Right.
He was like, I designed the whole board around that. And I was like, brilliant. But he couldn't take them back to Colombia.
Yeah,
so which is where he has them made. They're not made in China.
Yeah. They're made in Bogota.
So is he from Colombia?
Yeah, he's Colombian.
Right, yeah.
So we had a bit of a chat about the World Cup, because obviously, yeah, you know, game tomorrow.
We're not, don't talk about the World Cup.
Don't talk, sorry, yeah, of course.
And yeah, so he couldn't take them back with him. So I got one and brought it back to the UK, and then gave the other two to the US team who are building them the pedal boards for the booth. But yeah, they're worth checking out. So Wagi pedal boards, WAGGI. That's probably one of my highlights. In terms of like a new design, I think brilliant, great value for money.
Nice. J Cross, any highlights that we haven't got on this kind of new releases list?
Yeah, loads, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I mean,
let's go through those, and then we'll go through the stuff that we actually got press releases for.
So if we're talking about pedal boards, Matt and I were doing a walk around at one point, and we bumped into this, I can't remember the name of the distribution company, but there was a guy there from Canada, really nice guy, who was distributing a bunch of brands. And so one of them was One Control, who I think we've talked about a little bit here,
yeah,
and there.
I think, have we got one of their pedals, One Control?
No.
We've talked to them, I think, about maybe, you know, getting some stuff in.
Right, okay. And they also had a brand called Animals Pedal. Not Animal Pedals.
Animals Pedal.
Animals Pedal, which I think was a Japanese brand. They had some absolutely fantastic looking, and like some of the names of these pedals were just completely bonkers. Like really, really cool. Like I haven't got the page up at the moment, but there was something called like the fuzz is as good as a lake. Or like it really, really, Matt, if you can maybe have a look at the
I'm just googling it now. They were really odd. They were a Japanese brand, and I remember seeing them in Japan. They're relatively inexpensive, but they're like, yeah. So one's called Tioga Road Cycling Distortion.
Nice.
And I Was a Wolf in the Forest Distortion. Bath Time Reverb. Fishing Is as Fun as Fuzz.
That was it. Fishing Is as... Yeah.
1927 Home Run King Compressor. Relaxing Walrus Delay. Surfing
Relaxing
Bear
Walrus.
Overdrive.
Yeah, it was really cool. Really cool. Some of the pedal days.
That's just... me on a Sunday when I got my shirt off on the sofa. Relaxing Walrus.
Here we go.
Did you get to hear them, or were you just...
No, didn't get to hear them.
Classic
no.
guitar nerds.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just look like... great. Great names. Did you hear them? Nah, forget about it.
Surfing Bear Overdrive. Fishing Is as Fun as Fuzz. Some of them were just fantastic, but they looked really well built. To be honest with you, it's so loud, and we just didn't have...
Sure.
He offered us the chance to plug him in, but it was like, just not going to be able to hear anything. But the thing that really caught our eye while we were there was actually their own brand, the distributor's own brand, which was Outlaw Effects.
Oh, yeah.
So Outlaw Effects...
Did they send us stuff?
Well,
no.
You are probably thinking, they have just signed up with Zed Music... Zoe and Chris, who distribute
actually, they offered us some of that stuff, and I think we were just super busy at the time,
right,
so I hadn't
fine.
Taken them up on it, but they have some Outlaw stuff that they can send us.
They've got some great looking pedals, again, kind of compacts, like super compacts, kind of like almost Moore-ish in size, not quite that small, but the thing that really impressed us was the Nomad pedal boards. So this is a range of pedal boards that they... I think there was just two. And what they've done, what they've made, is powered pedal boards.
Okay.
Insofar as the power is lithium-ion batteries inside the pedal boards.
Okay.
And you've got something like 10 outputs built into the back of the pedal board, with a load of different options. So there was like even a couple of 24 volt.
There was an 18 or 24 switchable, and then there was a 12, and then a bunch of nines. And it's, yeah, three internal lithium ion batteries for 10 hours worth of power.
Yeah.
So I thought it was just, because you can't really find the Volto anymore. And I was like, that's such a good solution.
Well, you can. They actually have just relaunched the Volto.
Have they?
Well, just because Pedal Train have also recently put out their own, the Spark, haven't they? Their own power supply, the Spark. Because, of course, this is something that I think Pedal Train have done that's a little bit, I'm not 100% sure with. This is a great business decision for them, but I think, well arguably it's not. They changed all of the backs of all their boards recently.
Yeah.
To make it a bit of an effort to be able to fit a Voodoo Labs. There. Now, you can still get one. And one thing you can't is the visual sound, or what they're called now, True Tone. True Tone, absolutely can't. In fact, the hinge packs that come in True Tones are redundant. You can't fit them on a pedal train. So, and obviously, Pedal Train did this because they were bringing out their own power supply. Problem is, the Pedal Train's power supply is a bit rubbish. The Spark just isn't very good.
That's a letdown.
So yeah,
but this.
And there's no way of fitting those MXR DC bricks on them. Either,
wow. So. Okay.
Well, I mean, I thought these were absolutely fantastic. Really, really neat. Like super powerful. They just looked fantastic. Super, super sleek. I was just having a look. They don't actually appear to be on the website yet. The guys were saying that it was just like it was super, super new. But yeah, absolutely watch this space. I think they're going to be a huge hit, and I'm really glad that they're coming in through Zed Music, because I just think that they're one of the best distributors in certainly in the UK at the moment. And kind of it is, and perhaps this is me and my own biases coming out here, and Mark, maybe you can attest to this. Distributors don't tend to get the credit that they sometimes are due, maybe because there's a lot of cowboys out there.
I mean, it's just not a very glamorous.
It's not very fashionable, is it?
Being a distributor is not a glamorous job, because really, if you're a distributor, you kind of don't want people to know that you exist. Mm. You just want it to work. So, you know, you want to know the brand and you want to know the retailer. No one wants to know the distributor.
No, well, completely.
And, you know, to be honest, for most distributors, all they're really doing is buying in boxes and then selling the boxes for a different price.
Yeah, sure.
But obviously there's some distributors that do more than that, that do marketing and stuff, but again, you kind of want to be invisible. Actually, you know, what's been really good working with Zed Distribution is that they are at shows and they're really into guitars.
Yeah, they're
well.
Super passionate yeah. about it. I think that's the big thing, is whenever we go to a guitar show, Zed Music is there, and they're just doing a great job. I've got plenty of time for those guys. I think they're great, and I think that this range of pedals will absolutely be in safe hands with them. So yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Those basses,
the Cerex.
So man, I'm not a bass player, but that's probably one of the best basses I've ever played.
So this is the one that Joe mentioned a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Cerex basses.
Yeah.
Where are they from?
Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
So we talked about them before in that they're sort of short scale Gibson-y.
They actually do long scale basses as well. Okay. But the one that I really like is one they call the Midwestern, which is based,
looks like a Wilshire.
Looks like a Wilshire, based on that sort of Embassy, I think is what they were called they were basses, but Wilshire for guitars. Yeah.
So what were they like in the flesh?
Really, really nice. Really nice. They were basically what you would expect a bass version of that guitar to be.
Yeah.
Really well built. I was just saying to Joe, actually, probably wouldn't be any good for me because I am very raucous and unwieldy when it comes to playing my bass with a plectrum.
Never.
Yeah, completely. But I think if you've got a little bit more nuance to your playing.
Yes, I mean, short scales are definitely like
absolutely.
That tension being a bit lower. I get around that by putting flat rounds on there, and then you just get the same tension as you would on a long scale.
But sounds dreadful.
Yeah, fine.
But the thing is, for a guitar player, that's what worked for me, because I was short scale feels really nice. And it reminded me of, because the whole thing is like worn finish, it instantly felt like played in. It felt really nice.
Yeah, they have that sort of through wood, like rubbed finish look to them, a lot of them.
I mean, I don't know. There was also combined with an amplifier, which I think, if I know the brand, I'm pretty sure is relatively expensive. Trickfish bass amps.
Well, I don't know them.
No, I've never heard of them.
Oh, right. I saw
it sounded
them
amazing.
And some of them go up to like $4,000 or $5,000.
Ooh,
so I think they're like relatively expensive. But those basses were a real highlight, actually. I was like, actually, I'd buy one of these and play it, because it just felt so good to play.
He's recently made his own pickup, the B90, which is a bass version of the P90, which he started putting in things.
The only criticism was no shell pink. And he was like, it would look good in shell pink. And I was like, it really would look good if you did it in shell pink.
How many manufacturers did you say that to this weekend, Matt?
Basically everyone.
Basically everyone.
But you know what? Matt and Jay actually did get me a Ceric gift.
It's actually sat right behind you.
It
right
is,
now.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah. They got me.
That's because I paid for it.
They got me a blue tie-dye Ceric t-shirt, which I'm going to be wearing all the time.
It's blue. It's not just blue. It's blue and purple.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's proper tie-dye.
Yeah.
It was. It was quite funny. We spoke to so many people. I think his name is Josh. I do apologise, mate, if you're listening and that's incorrect, but he said, I said, oh, we've got to get Joe a t-shirt, got to get him a t-shirt, and he was like, oh yeah, I can do you a deal if you want to get two, I'll do them for like this much. And mate, you know, both looked at each other, looked at the t-shirts and went, nah mate, one's fine, don't worry about it.
Did you get it for a tenner?
No, it was a bit more than that, but that's fine, you know, we just wanted to support him. And yeah, it was great. Really, really, really nice guy. He's doing everything himself. Yeah, really interesting. If memory serves, he said that he previously worked for Lackland.
Oh yeah.
So bit of you know, he cut his teeth working with those guys and he's gone off on his own and doing some great stuff.
Cool. Yeah. Anything else you want to discuss before we dive into?
Yeah, couple of
one other thing.
You go next, then, Matty.
All right. Well, just quickly, floating point pedals.
Yeah.
Floating forest pedals. Yeah. Actually. Sorry. This guy, based out of New York, makes it everything himself. Made this wicked delay that had bypass, a swell control, like foot switch, a bit like the Metaverse ones, and then the second one went between delay time on the actual pedal or the LED that went over a photosensitive, like a sensor that basically controlled the delay time, so you could go between a fixed delay time and then a delay time controlled by the LED, but different coloured lights affect the waveform.
Okay.
So if you use a red LED or a blue LED, it affects the waveform differently and then gives you a different like warbling of delay time.
So
it was great because it was like you can swell and you can like move the LED and get crazy sounds. You press one button and it goes straight back to the kind of like fixed delay time that you control with the delay knob.
So is the LED like on an arm type thing that you can
exactly
move around?
Well, it's got a
USB port, on,
USB
it,
port on the side.
So Matt, was it like, do you remember those little synth robot things that you had that had a little LED?
Exactly,
yeah,
like that.
Right, that was the conversation that we had at the time.
What were they called?
Bleep Labs.
Bleep Labs, yeah.
Yeah, and that was, he was just like, you know, it's my first ever NAM. I've got another job. I build everything. I drill all the enclosures. I designed everything. And they were just really cool. The whole like boutique stomp box exhibit was wicked because there was loads of brands. Someone had built like 7 or 8 pedal boards with like, I don't know, probably like 150 different brands on there.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that. 150 different pedals.
No, I don't know. There was quite a lot. But there was another one, wasn't there? There was the boutique stomp box exhibit and then there was another one slightly further away. But there was a lot of, it just made me realize how crazy it is in that world and how many people are building stuff.
There's a lot of companies out there.
One of the ones, just to touch on it briefly, on one of those boutique pedal areas, one of the things that was there was Land Devices. Do you remember we talked about those
a little while ago?
They make the sort of
military
industrial-looking harmonic percolator type pedal.
Yeah, yeah.
They were there, didn't get a chance to plug them in, but they had a pedal there which I hadn't seen before. Because the ones that we've spoken about before, there was the green one, which I think was the first one that they did, and then they did a cream one, and then there was a black one there, and I can't remember the names of them, but I remember listening to a demo of the green one when the press release came out, and it had sold out before we even talked about it, if I remember correctly.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, great looking pedals. Really cool. There was a couple of other guitar brands I wanted to talk about very briefly. One was a company called Nutter Guitars.
Okay. Absolute
so
Nutter.
Nutter Guitars.
Now you put this up on the group.
I did put this up on the group, yes. So we were walking past it and Nutter Guitars, made in Nashville by a guy whose last name is Nutter.
Okay.
He was saying that his job for like 10 years was he was Keith Urban's guitar player.
Okay.
And he had basically spent 10 years on the road.
Is he the one that's in Star Trek?
That's Keith. You've confused me.
Isn't he an actor as well, though? And isn't he in Star Trek?
Carl Urban. Okay. Sorry, you totally threw me with that. Okay. No, Keith Urban is a country singer.
Fine.
Like that really hit me for six. I think it's because I've been awake for nearly 48 hours. Actually, yeah. Anyway, I'd rather not think about it. He was Keith Urban's. I'm sure that's what he said. Keith Urban's guitar player. He had a kid. And basically wanted
Carl Urban.
Carl Urban, yeah, who now is in Star Trek.
Yeah.
And he wanted to get off the road and so started building guitars. And the one that really caught our eye was the Ensign. So all of his guitars had like military-esque names. So there was the Ensign and the Cadet, I think is the other one. But the Ensign was a guitar that I put up on the group. And mainly the reason I put it up there was because I've rarely
it
seen...
It was tiny and pink.
I've rarely seen Matt Knight looking happier. It was kind of... Yeah, it was small, shell pink, single P90, or single... I don't know exactly what the pickup was. I don't think it was a P90, actually. Absolutely fantastic. Didn't plug it in, but just strummed out on it for a bit, and it was really, really nice.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
All made in Nashville, which was super exciting. And they were fairly cheap. I think it was $1,200 is what he was saying was a rough price for them. Absolutely do go and have a look on the group about that. And the other brand that I really wanted to talk about was who I'd not heard of before was Sublime Guitars. So I don't know if any of you guys have heard of those guys, but they made a range of instruments. I think there was four shapes, if memory serves. But the thing that was great about them was that he was talking to us about his business model, and basically all of the parts are like sourced from different companies. So it's not like they're all made in World Guitars, or like they're all made in the USA. Basically, he has got a supplier who makes necks, he's got a supplier who makes bodies, he's got a supplier who makes pickups, and he gets the hardware and then assembles them in the USA. He was based in Florida, if memory serves. But the one that really caught my eye was the Tomcat Deluxe, which was a really fantastic looking, almost like a Titan-esque, like a Kawa Titan-esque guitar.
These look great. Yeah, fantastic.
What have I got there? Oh, yeah, really, really cool. And so all of the guitars have got those like baked flame maple necks, really nice dark neck with a ebony board. The pickups are made by... Porter pickups, which was
never heard of them.
No, I hadn't heard of them, but he said that they were really good. I plugged one of these in very briefly. It did sound amazing, but that neck just felt absolutely astonishing. The one that I was looking at was this. If you go onto his website, you'll see it. It's kind of a Daphne blue with a anodized gold guard, and he was saying like, yeah, so this is the deluxe. And we were like, okay, so what are the prices on these? And he was like, right, well, yeah, that's the deluxe. That one is about $899, and then they go down from there.
Really?
And we were just both like, sorry, down from there? What are you talking about? He was like, yeah, you know, that's the premium model, and then all the rest of these that you see here, they're all a bit cheaper. And honestly, they looked unbelievable. I don't know how he's doing them for this money. I do not know how he's
what was the brand name again?
Sublime.
Nice. I need to check that out.
Really, really cool. I would absolutely... They were maybe my sort of pick of the bunch in terms of brands who I hadn't heard of before.
Yeah.
Two really nice fellas manning the booth. One of the guys just, we went twice to go and talk with them, and the second time we went round, one of the guys could like barely talk. They were in this area that was super loud. I felt really bad for them, next to a couple of super loud amp companies, and they looked like they had just been blitzing themselves talking about this stuff for ages. But honestly, I think they were really, really cool. It's something really different. It's not just another kind of boutique like Les Paul or boutique Strat type guitar. It's, they look very different, but they also kind of have like a retro familiarity to them.
Well, I mean, if you just look at the body shape, it's basically half Tele, half Les Paul, isn't it? Pretty much, you know, it's got the kind of curviness of a
yeah,
Les
I guess
Paul,
so.
But
yeah.
It's got the kind of top horn and bottom horn of a Tele.
Yeah, so
they look, they're neat, really into it.
I really, really like those guitars. I thought they were very, very cool. So yeah, they were my pick of the show, I would say.
Nice, nice. Well, should we dive into the actual press releases then, and what we like to call
news?
That was pretty
normal.
I'm trying to get into it. There's loads.
I know there's loads. Sorry, we'll dive in. We're halfway through the podcast already. So, first up, brand new stuff, a whole load of brand new stuff from Fender, including the Flea Bass, the Albert Hammond Jr. Signature, brand new Lefty models, Paisley Strats, some pedals, and some brand new Jimi Hendrix stuff. J. Cross, run it down.
Where do you start? So, Jimi Hendrix, really cool looking, right-handed...
Yeah, it's
lefties.
Custom shops of what they released a little while
shops.
Ago.
The Jimi Hendrix ones are not custom shops.
Oh, okay.
They are Mexico.
Oh, right. We just got in some custom shops versions of these.
With the, like,
£4,000.
The graphics and stuff all over them.
No.
Oh, okay. That was the Monterey.
Yeah.
No, we got regular white ones with the upside down heads.
These are not
they
white.
So they were shown at Winternam.
Yes, that's right.
The ones that were shown at Summernam, there's like a... purple one and a sunburst one
and a green one
purple and sunburst.
Purple, okay.
they look really good.
Oh, and they're Mexican
and they're Mexico. Yeah,
fantastic.
So yeah, look, they look really, really cool. They're
upside down pickup as well as headstock.
Yes
cool.
And it's part of like a whole campaign. There's some like accessories and stuff to go with it as well, like strings and
get yourself a purple
curly
cable. Yeah.
So yeah, really, really cool. New Flea bases. Matt, you were all about these, weren't you? Oh, lost him.
We've lost Matty.
Oh, hello.
That's me.
Oh, there he is.
He's back. Go on then, Matty.
I'm back. Yeah, well, the thing is, when I was a massive Red Hot Chili Peppers fan, and my friend got a modulus bass, like his signature, like kind of, it was a one pickup one. And I was like, that bass is always wicked. And then he played Music Man. And then obviously that jazz bass came out in pink. And now it's like
he had his own company in between. He had Flea Bass.
Flea Bass. Yeah. We don't talk about those.
Let's not talk about Flea Bass. I'm pretty sure they were like, weren't they like Behringer or something, Flea Bass?
I don't know.
No, it was Flea. It was his own company.
Probably the worst instrument I've ever played, the Flea Bass. Yeah. So bad.
But this thing looked amazing. I reckon if you wanted a cross between a Music Man and a Fender bass... that would probably be the best way
to
go.
It's a jazz bass with a Music Man pickup. But what I quite like about this is
it's not a Music Man pickup.
No,
it's a Tim Shaw design.
Yeah. Okay, but it's an eight pole sort of humbucker.
Active humbucker,
yeah, with a 9-volt. But what I quite like is they've moved the position from Music Man, which is Music Man obviously put their pickup right up on the bridge, which, you know, obviously listeners, I appreciate your guitar players, but you must understand that a pickup right on the bridge for bass is pretty much useless. Hence why so few people are playing Stingrays these days. But they've moved this slightly more towards the center of the body, so it's still got that really tight punch that you get from a Music Man style guitar, just with, you know, more articulate low end. The best thing about this is the finish, though, because it's a plateless jazz.
Yeah.
It's basically what they've done is they've taken the spec from the modulus bass and they put it in a jazz bass body. That's what they've done.
But finish wise, like, isn't it like a? I can't. It looks almost shell pink, but I think it's actually gold.
No. Right? So there's two. There's a kind of like grey gold type color. Uh-huh. I don't think it's Shoreline. I think it's like a kind of its own color.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a very matte finish.
Full
and
gold.
The same with the shell pink one. Is it shell pink? Yeah,
oh,
it is. But it's
me.
Like a real matte shell pink.
It's slightly more premium than the last. One.
Sorry?
It's slightly more premium than the last one, because the last one was road worn and so it had a road worn price tag. It was just under a grand. These ones are like £1,500.
Yeah, these are America. These are American built. Yeah.
They look absolutely fantastic. What a brilliant bass. I mean,
definitely.
I'm actually tempted to get one.
I'm not a fan of him or jazz basses in general, but for me, this is quite a neat little package. Just looks good.
The Robon ones were super popular. Well, I think way more popular than anybody expected. I'm sure you can attest to that as well.
Absolutely.
And really cool to see this still absolutely rocking.
One quick mention, even though it's not really a new guitar, I really loved the new colour on the Johnny Marr.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So late plastic blue.
Yeah, a late plastic blue Johnny Marr. And what pickups do you get in that?
The same pickups that have been in there
same
before.
Guitar. Oh really?
Yeah, which is the bare knuckle Johnny Marr set. It's not the one that everybody was talking about on the internet.
That
which
he
is,
brought to that Fender show that he did.
He had the sustainers and
stuff.
He had the Ed O'Brien pickups in one of his. Yeah, he brought that along to an event that he did at The Great Escape.
Oh, did he have it then? I didn't make it to that, so
I didn't
see that.
That's actually where I think a lot of the chatter came from.
Shouldn't you have been working at that?
I was working in the office that day.
Sure you were.
Yeah, I was working in the office that
day.
Sure. So I didn't see that.
Okay.
Albert Hammond Jr.
I love Albert Hammond Jr.
He's from the Strokes, right?
He's from the Strokes. Yeah.
Son of Albert Hammond.
Okay. I don't know who that is.
Wrote some pretty famous songs.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, he wrote The Air That I Breathe by the Hollies.
Albert Hammond Strat is basically a 70s.
Well, I mean, if you know who Albert Hammond Jr. is, you know what this guitar is. Because he's played that same guitar his whole career. He actually has two, because one he smashed up at a Strokes show, and he now has the broken parts of it on like framed on his wall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Which is great, but he's that's dedication. Like, think of us. Look at all the... There are 15 guitars in my house at the moment. 15.
All the gear and no idea.
No idea at all, but... you know, think about this. Albert Hammond Jr., he was in the Strokes, man. They were a big deal. I based my look on them when I was 16.
I tell you what, I can tell
from that photo.
I think we've spoken about this recently, but like, I wish it wasn't people that looked like you did then.
They're like the Strokes.
Who were into the Strokes, because I totally was just like, this band is rubbish. Look at all these idiots who like this band. And I got into...
A great band.
This Is It, or Is This It?
What's is that? This
Is This
It, their first record.
I got into that record probably 10 years after it came out, and I was just like, every song on it is an absolute banger.
Yeah, it's a
every song
banger.
On it is fantastic.
All bangers.
Do you know that Albert Hammond Jr. had been playing guitar for 2 years when they recorded that record?
Really? Crikey.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was really
like, sounds like it.
That's it does though. He has that really sort of jagged, awkward feel to everything he does. But that's become a cornerstone of his playing.
Oh, yeah. Totally. But yeah, anyway, the Albert Hammond Jr. is definitely going to appeal to people who like Albert Hammond Jr.
American made, Mexican made.
Sure.
Mexico, I think. Okay. I can't remember the price, to be honest with you. But yeah, it's basically a 70 Strat with
a white 70 Strat
with some weird pickup selection options.
Okay, that's
so
interesting.
In the bridge position, when you're in the bridge position, that's actually the middle position, and it sort of works weird from there. So that and that
works weird from
well,
there.
I'm not going to go into the detailed specs of it.
There's
but
press releases if people want to see
absolutely.
That.
But yeah, it's really cool. Actually, it's a very cool playing guitar.
Lefty Models.
Yeah, so not actually a NAMM release. Just released
at NAMM.
Well, no, released at the same time as NAMM. Not a NAMM release because they're actually at the moment European. They're European models.
Oh wow.
So they are models that were basically commissioned by us in the European team for Lefty. There's five models, I think, that are Lefty exclusive, made in Japan offsets. So there's a couple of Mustangs, a couple of Jazz Masters, a Jaguar, and a Paisley Telly, pink Paisley Telly. They all look amazing. And basically, where this came from is the people, and maybe this is going into a bit more detail than I should probably be going into, but anytime a guitar gets announced, our social media team get absolutely hammered by people saying, why isn't there a Lefty version? Why isn't there a Lefty version? Why is all the Lefty versions of the guitars that you make all boring colours, etc., etc., etc.? So our social media team basically begged us to try and do something about it. And we went as completely bananas as we possibly could. So yeah, really, really weird stuff. They all look fantastic. And my understanding is they're basically going to be made to order. So if you're into looking at them, go and speak to your local shops and say, please
order these
please
guitars.
Get one for me so that I can try it.
I've turned from a raging lunatic on Fender's social media to actually having an option to buy them.
So. Totally. And and pedals, new pedals as well.
Well, Paisley Strats as well. We didn't talk about
Paisley Strats. So those were the ones that Joe posted up.
Yeah, that's right.
So that was part of the custom shop release as well. There was like 7 or 8 new custom shops that came out.
I mean
even I'm struggling to keep on top of everything that came out because it was just there was just so much stuff.
A lot, and we'll talk about this at the end, but Summer Nam seems crazy this year in terms of releases.
Lots and lots of stuff,
more so than Winter Nam almost.
It's a lot more
there's a
condensed.
Lot of stuff, but just in terms of releases there's so much stuff.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about this at the end of when we've gone through everything. But so those Paisley Strats. So you've already received those, Joe, okay?
Yeah, that's right.
Have you had a chance to look at them?
Yeah, we've had a butcher's at them. I'm actually shooting a video on them tomorrow, and we have a Fender Custom Shop event on Wednesday night. If anyone's sort of London or Brighton area and wants to come down. Oh, actually, it has sold out. It's sold out. The event's sold out.
They'd be able to squeak in, surely.
We've got to try and cram in. I accidentally didn't put a cap on the tickets.
Classic Joe Brandy.
Yeah. Well, because I thought about four, who cares about Fender Custom Shop? I thought about 4 old boys were going to turn up, and we've sold 70 tickets. How the hell am I going to fit 70 people into the shop? Anyway, that's my problem, not a problem for here. But yeah, those Paisley Strats, Tele necks, Tele headstocks.
What?
Tele headstocks.
How did I not notice that in the photos?
Because I just took a
you
picture.
You just dropped
of the,
it out.
Yeah, I took a picture of the body. But yeah, Tele necks, like big, deep. Telly neck, sort of big deep U, thick sort of 50s maple telly neck, and then headstock banging. I love it. I've never realised how much I love the look of a Strat with a Telecaster.
It's a good
neck
look.
Headstock.
Definitely, yeah.
Fantastic looking, wonderful. The only thing I think it was pointed out on the group, I think a few people weren't that into the scratch plate because it's a white plate, like not mint or parchment. It's a white plate.
I'm quite into
and
it.
It's not a transparent plate, which would obviously.
Yeah. I was quite into it because they're sort of relict, aren't they? And they kind of look like someone's found one of those guitars. They've changed the neck. They've put a different plate on there. You know, they're not.
It's got
supposed
a parts caster feel to it.
Totally.
Yeah,
totally.
Absolutely fantastic guitars. Obviously, as they are a relict Paisley parts caster style instrument, they are the extreme top end of Fender Custom Shop. So I think. They're coming in at around £4,000.
And maybe this is me completely overstepping the mark here, but when you say Tele headstock, do you just mean like 70s headstock?
No, I mean a Telecaster headstock.
Really? Because we maybe are talking about different guitars here.
Yeah, I thought the one that I'd seen just had a 70s big Strat headstock.
That's the one. Those were the ones that were on show at NAMM. Yes.
Joe's desperately filing through some pictures now to check that he hasn't made a crucial mistake.
No, I know I haven't. I literally spent half my day sat with it today whilst I told everyone I was doing important research.
Of course.
But, so it's 100%. It's
Maybe it's just coincidence then because, as part of the Summer Nam collection, there was a bunch of new custom shops, kind of like catalogue models shown. And, there was a black Paisley and a pink Paisley Strat with a large 70s headstock.
Maybe that's the ones that I've seen, and maybe I haven't seen this one that Joe's talking about.
These ones are 100% better. I mean, who
100% better. 100% better. With that in mind, let's move on to the pedals. Joe's going to quickly get some. Do you know what? They are Tele headstocks.
Yeah, we're talking about different guitars. How about that? Super
that's
weird.
Cool. That's even cooler than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Excellent. Everyone who owns a Strat, take the neck off, get a Tele neck on there. You won't regret it. I'm telling you now.
You're tellying them now, J Cross. So just wrap up the Fender stuff with the pedals.
Oh God, I'm exhausted already.
So much stuff.
So 3 new pedals to go along with the 6 that were announced at Winter Nam. So there's the Engager Boost, the Full Moon Distortion, which is a two pedal distortion that's got a drive and a distortion and a boost circuit built into it, I think you can change the order. I can't remember off the top of my head. I think you can change the order on those, and also the Pelt Fuzz, which has completely surprised me because I actually quite like it.
Wow.
Because I'm not a huge
never made a
big secret of the fact that I'm not a huge fuzz fan in general. But the Pell,
what
is,
if it's like fishing?
Sorry?
Fishing is like fuzz or whatever it was.
The animal's pedal.
Yeah, what if it's like fishing?
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming this is exactly... Well, this is more like hunting, the Pell.
The
Pell,
exactly.
But yeah, this I really like. It's got the similar characteristics to the Bigfoot Engineering King Fuzz, which is a fuzz pedal I do really like. I think mainly because there's the two ends of the spectrum for me that I really dislike. And I was talking about this on the group earlier. One is that sort of like... wet, spluttery, battery dying, like that sort of satisfaction sound,
yeah,
which I really can't stand. And the other side of that is the like the ZVEX Fuzz Factory style, the like completely uncontrollable.
Sure.
I'm not a big fan of that either. And this is just like sort of bang in the middle. It won't appeal to everyone because it's like, I think it's quite conservative. It sounds like a drive pedal, I think.
Okay.
But it's got like the ability to go a bit more mad with it, but it's way controllable. So yeah, I'm a big fan of this. I think it's out of the three, that's the one for me that is the one that's really, really worth checking out. But they're all really good. And yeah, nine Fender pedals now. And who'd have thought, like, this time 2 years ago, if we'd been talking about Fender pedals, like,
they're actually good.
Like,
oh, come on, that oversized phaser was always good.
Yeah, but that was like 25 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was like one pedal out of a range of loads of them as well. And these are all genuinely quite good. Yeah. So, Joe Branton, on a sort of Fender tip, there were some two new bass models from Squire.
And not just that, actually, there's guitars. There's a whole expansion in the Squire Contemporary series, which is a fantastic line of guitars. Really nice to see Squire kind of doing its own thing again. And as much as I love, like, the cornerstones of Squire, which are vintage, modified, and classic vibe, I think they have a lot of cross wires in between them, but also now that we've got like the Fender Player series being slightly more retro and everything else that's coming out of Fender kind of being more like more origin based instruments, I think it's really good that Squire are moving away from that and are making modern instruments. And that's exactly what, hence the name, the Squire Contemporary series does. Earlier this year they brought out some Tellys and some Strats with like a double humbucker format, always with a matching head cap, which I thought was a very nice touch, but then a satin neck. So they were super cool, and they have just added to those with a pair of Jazzmasters, this time with Squire's own SQR pickups, which is their take on
Squire,
which is their take on EMGs. They are active 9-volt. So what we're talking about is hardtail Jazzmasters in like a surf green
surf
mist.
Surf pearl,
yeah, mm-hmm. Which is that, you know, the sort of pearl.
It's a soft green,
it's almost
metallic.
Yeah,
metallic,
it's a gloss finish, but it looks satiny, and they do it in like a grey. I can't remember the grey finish. It's like a midnight dusk sort of.
Yeah, there was one with charcoal
lovely
frost.
It's a bit charcoal frost. It's not that colour, but they're doing that, and they're also doing this surf pearl, which is a great colour. Like, absolute banging guitars. Pewter hardware, tuners and bridge. Hardtail, obviously, on the Jazzmaster, and active 9-volt pickups. Man, I thought they sounded great. Oh, 12-inch radius.
I mean, it's just the whole point of the Contemporary. So I've got a confession to make in that I've known about this Jazzmaster for about 9 months, maybe a bit longer than that. And when the Contemporary series was announced at NAMM, I already knew about it. I knew that this was coming as well at Winter NAMM, and I was gutted that it wasn't announced because it just looks unbelievable.
It's fantastic.
It's such
so cool.
A great
and
guitar.
Do you know what? I tried them out today. We shot a video on them today, and I was like, man, this is a great guitar. Like, you want something that's super aggressive, really suited towards like punk and hardcore and metal, just like a really heavy, aggressive sounding guitar. It looks cool, and these pickups actually sound banging. They're exactly, when EMGs are used right, when they're not too overpowered,
yeah,
they can sound really good. They can sound like an aggressive sort of overwhelmed pickup, and that's exactly what this sounds like. Brilliant guitar. They've gone for Indian Laurel again on the fretboard, which is something we saw on the Bullets recently when they re-released the Bullets, which seems to be the new, like, affordable alternative
to Rosewood. Laurel is what is going on, I think that's basically what's going on all of the Squires now.
Oh, right, that's
so
cool.
Most of the Rosewood has transitioned in the Mexico range. Most of the Rosewood has transitioned to Palfaro. Uh-huh. In America, in the American range, most of it is transferred over to Ebony, except for the Pros, which is still Rosewood.
Right.
And yeah, with this, it's Laurel, and it looks really nice.
Looks the part, sounds fantastic. Yeah. No, absolutely no problem with it. I thought they were great, and for the money, I think they're absolutely fantastic guitars, matching head caps as well. Again,
totally. The contemporary series is great, and I think it gives Squire what it was missing because you know we've always raved about the classic vibe range.
Yeah.
And there kind of wasn't a good option for if you wanted something modern.
If you wanted something modern, you had to buy the Johnny Five or the Jim Root.
The Johnny Five.
Johnny Five is alive.
The John Five. Sorry. I wonder what I did there for a minute.
The Jimmy Root.
What have I done? Yeah, sorry. The Jump 5 or the Jimmy Root. But yeah, they were what a fantastic alternative that's super affordable. And of course the Jim Root was they did the Jim Root Jazzmaster with EMGs in it, and that was, I appreciate that was a full Fender, but what a great looking guitar. Yeah. Problem was that was £1,300.
Sure.
We're talking about £400. It's quite a lovely guitar, wonderful.
I think it speaks to the kind of I was gonna say the state of metal, but not like metal's in a state, but the state of metal where you can bring out basically a metal guitar now, but it doesn't have to have like blood paint on it or like skull completely. And crossbones or whatever. Completely. It's just like a wicked looking guitar in a kind of cool old school style finish.
I also
Spec for metal.
I can see this being the sort of guitar that people are just going to buy to mod.
Yeah,
it's a bit more expensive than say the Bullet Mustangs.
It's a premium model for Squire, I think.
Yeah,
in at £400, but you know, still. Cracking guitar.
I'd be really, really curious to try one of these. Let's do one more bit of news.
One more?
Yeah, I mean, we've got loads, but we'll carry on over into the Patreon, I think, this week. Just because we're nearly up at an hour already, and we've got a little bit of news at the end of the podcast that I want people to stick around for. So, just quickly, Gibson 2019 models. Nothing officially announced at the show, and also, obviously, there was some leaked information a couple months ago, and we've had no confirmation whether that's 100% correct yet. But basically, they didn't put out a press release saying these are the new models. What they did put out was a statement from Henry saying that the line is going to be greatly reduced in 2019, so not so many models, because he seems to, I think, feel that one of the reasons they've been struggling in the electric guitar market is that there's too much choice and consumers don't really know what they're buying, and you know, classic, traditional, new standard, new Coke, you know, polyunsaturated, all that stuff, and I think that's what's causing consumer confusion, and that's what they seem to think as well. So what I wanted to say was they were at the show, and you had a chance to have a look at them.
Yes.
So what were your kind of takeaways from that?
Very good.
Okay.
So they had a new range of USA stuff and a new range of custom shop stuff. The custom shop stuff was, as you would expect, incredible. New Modern V. What was that? V. Was it called the Modern V?
Something like that.
The one that looks like the Starfleet logo. The one that looks like the Starfleet logo. Really, really cool. And in the USA range, looks fantastic. New Junior, proper Junior, like. Not that weird, like, sort of blocky style
one
Junior.
One looks a bit wrong.
Yeah, proper Les Paul Junior in USA, not in custom shop.
Yes.
And, yeah, really, really exciting. Great looking range. The only thing that I did notice was there didn't appear to be a kind of standard. Like a Sunburst or a... Ebony standard.
Okay.
There was standards in the weird colours.
The like fadey ones.
But we were assured that there will be normal standards. I think it's just they had a range there. The models will be officially announced later in the year, and it's just like this is what they had.
Yeah.
But yeah, the traditional seemed really cool. There was Explorers. There were a couple of Flying Vs. The Explorers they had in a kind of like traditional Carina style and in a like black tribute style, so one presumably would be £1,500 and one presumably be like £1,100, something like that. They didn't give us any prices, but yeah, great, really great stuff. Some very, very like basically what everyone wants Gibson to be doing. I think
doing the
they
right thing.
Are yeah, they're sort of listening.
I'm really excited about these new Epiphone Prisms.
Yeah. Well, let's talk. Don't spoil it. Let's talk about that on the Patreon podcast. We'll talk about the Epiphone Prism.
Look, I had to mention it because I've already made like the Instagram story, and I included a little picture of the Prism. So now that I've mentioned it, it's justified that I've used that picture.
Fine. Okay. But we'll talk about it in the Patreon podcast. But first, I want to talk about some news regarding the podcast. This is going to be my last Guitar Nerds podcast for a while, for some time, an undetermined amount of time at the moment. The reason for that is I'm moving on to a new project in my life, of which I can't...
You haven't told us this!
This is not news to the boys listening, but it's new to you, the listeners, but it's not new to the Guitar Nerds guys. So, basically, this is going to be my last one for a while. I will probably pop back up, if not from time to time, but you'll see me around, definitely. Yeah, the best way, I guess, to keep in touch with me is on Twitter. I've been starting to use Twitter a bit more because... and in the Facebook group as well. I'll be posting updates in there. But, Mark_random on Twitter. But, this is it for a while, at least.
Very weird.
It is going to be really weird.
This is like what happened 3 years ago, or whenever it was, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
3 years ago, wasn't it?
Was it 3 years ago? I don't know.
This is even weirder because this is our thing. You know, this is like... Guitar Nerds, isn't it? This is.
He's just found something more important to be doing. He won't tell us. I don't know.
Done something that means that I can't do this.
Wait! Are we not supposed to have told people what you're doing?
No, you can tell people.
Oh, good, because there's like a thread in the group.
Sure. The people kind of who need to know already know. But yeah, I'll be posting details in the Guitar Nerds group soon enough, and probably, like I said, if you follow me on Twitter, there'll be kind of an announcement on there and stuff.
I hope that you and the 60 Cycle Hum. guys, really get on. You know, this is like LeBron James moving to the Lakers.
Yeah, Ryan's warming up the microphone right now, ready for me to get stuck in. This is going to be it for a little while. I don't know who's going to host. I don't know what you boys are going to do. I don't know what you've got planned. Maybe some guests. Is it going to be like Have I Got News For You, where they get a guest in to host every week and you're sort of the...
It's going to be like Have I Got News For You, in that Angus Deaton is going to come and...
Sweet.
Yeah, he is actually him.
Disgraced TV host Angus Deaton.
we've got him coming on to host the podcast. I think he knows about guitars.
I was thinking about it the other day. You know who you could legitimately get? Neil Buchanan from Art Attack.
He knows about guitars.
He knows loads about guitars.
Who's he the guitar player for?
Marseille.
I always say Marillion.
No. That was no. Fish.
Yeah.
I think basically what's going to happen is for the first couple of weeks, we'll probably... it's going to be a complete disaster.
Don't leak it. We're planning,
I'm
Jay.
I'm just saying, Matt's on holiday, so it's going to be me and Joe. It's going to be the blind leading the blind.
Yeah, I've got it all planned out,
you can
mate.
Get literal blind celebrity guests leading. In.
Yeah, I think the plan is that for the first couple of weeks, while we find our feet, at least there will be some guests. So I think one of the things is, I guess as much as anything is... let us know what you would like to happen, listeners. Is there someone in particular who you would like more regularly on the podcast? Is there a new format that you think we should be rocking with? Is there anyone else that you think should be leaving the podcast?
I mean, that's my vote. If he leaves, I'll come back.
Okay, fine. Matt. That Mark's usurping.
It wasn't about Matt.
Oh, okay, right. Okay, fine. I guess let us know what you think and we'll go from there.
I mean,
yeah.
We won't listen to any of it. I've got it all planned out.
Yeah,
it's
going
to be fine.
Joe.
I think for this last one, Packham, you should read the Patreon backers.
I can't do it in one breath. I cannot do it
great
in one breath.
Idea.
I've got it here. Don't give me that laptop. I've got hay fever. I'm not going to be able to do it in one breath.
No, you've got to do it in one breath. You've got to do it in one breath.
So, this is my last regular podcast, but I will be on the Patreon this week. So if you do want to hear that, go to patreon.com/guitarnerds, where from as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast.
Hang on, Joe, are you writing this down?
$1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early. $5 a month gets you an extra half an hour every week, plus access to some occasional bonuses, little mini-series, interviews, things like that. $10 a month makes you one of our executive backers and gets your name read out on the regular episode.
In one breath.
Usually by Joe Branton, this week by me. Can I have some music, please? Just
What's a sad like montage type music?
I don't know. The scene
all by myself.
That's Star Wars.
That's scary. Were you trying to think of the
funeral
march?
Like,
what is that? No, that's marriage.
That comes in, here comes the bride.
Let's just go with that.
Hang on. Hang on.
You can't hold it for too long. You've just got to breathe in and go.
Scott Hamilton, John Ivor Mayer, Ivor John Mayer Crush, Marin Peters, Golden G, Richard III, Sean Arbo, Joshua Mitchell, Chris Wolfman Cuthbertson, Ryan McDermott, Robert Cousins, Rob Gruhl, Nate Nagel, Tucker Amadon, Ernie Cooper, Emery James Baker, Christopher Rapetish, Zane Omar, Matt Roberts, Dave Lee, Derek Fitzer, Cliff, Mike Davis, Aaron Schumann, Blake Weiland, Jake Gray, Christopher Lozeth, Wayne Corrier, Scott Kennedy, Robin Smith, Rob Norvick, Rob Grant, Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Andy Joyce, Carlos Manchester, Steve Merkel, Blair Toms, Mark Cross, Brad Page, JD Shaw, Andy McKenzie, Laurie Anstis, Paul Gorrigan, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Phil Thompson, Moog Gravett, Colin Anderson.
You must have taken at least three breaths.
There was two.
Oh my goodness.
I don't like this validation of him. This is why I won't do it.
But I also think he's cheating in some way, because you should try doing it. It's really hard.
I have tried and it's really hard.
Big lungs.
You know what they say about big lungs?
Large rib cage.
Wally.
Yes, very large rib cage. So you, like I said, go to Patreon. Do that. You'll hear me for the last time for a while on there. You can also follow us at Guitar Nerds. Follow us on Instagram at Guitar Nerds. You can go to YouTube.com/Guitar Nerds videos, and you can also go to the Guitar Nerds site, GuitarNerds.net. If you do want to follow me and see what I'm doing, Mark_random on Twitter. And yeah, basically, thanks for listening to me for the last 3.5 years. This podcast is going to continue and, you know, we'll go on to bigger and better things. And kind of, I think when we started Guitar Nerds, there was always kind of the idea that, you know, we might go off and do other things and other people will be subbed in. And that's kind of happening. And it's going to be really weird for me, but I still want to be involved When's the quiz? Well, the quiz should be next week. So if you're going to break in someone new, it's episode 175 next week. So
Who won? Didn't you win? No, Matt won.
Yeah.
Or did I win?
No.
No, I wrote it.
I think I won. Maybe I'll send in the questions.
Mark's two. I'm one. Joe's
zero.
I'll pass the questions on to Angus and he can get cracking. If you want to listen to that, do join the Guitar Nerds podcast again next week. Bye bye.
Cheers, gang.
Bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.